What's your default reaction to authority? Maybe even the word kind of makes you shiver. It stirs something in you. Maybe some of you have triggers still from high school or different authority figures from growing up. I mentioned at the start of Mass, this is Catholic Schools Week, and I went to a Catholic school, kindergarten through 12th grade. And I can still hear the footsteps of my principal coming down the hallway, that click, clack, click, clack. I'll celebrate 20 years of my high school graduation this year. And I still remember those teachers, one being Sister Dimphna. She taught me Latin for 3 years. And she died around 10 years ago, but I swear when she taught us, she was at least 200 years old. And she was just this little woman. If a strong wind came, it probably would have knocked her over. But she held authority in my mind. And we can think of figures like that when we hear about authority. What does that stir in me? What's my default reaction? And I think we could probably fall in one of two camps. The first, I think, is probably the most common and probably the default for all mankind. It's a resistance at first to authority. Well, who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to lay out these rules and take on this leadership role, this authority? And our hearts can even be hardened in that, in a default position. If we go back all the way to the creation of man and woman in Genesis, I think you can see evidence of this. When the Lord, out of his love and kindness, gave them a commandment not to eat from that tree, you can eat anything else, don't eat from that tree. You saw this curiosity and this resistance to the Lord's authority. It's there from the beginning, and so I think it, for man and woman, it becomes somewhat of a default position for us. We see evidence of it in the psalm today. We hear about a story of the Israelites traveling through the desert, and it was at Meribah and Massah where they tempted the Lord, where they questioned his authority. He was the one who brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He was the one who loved them and was trying to care for them. But they started grumbling and complaining. Oh, you have just led us out into this desert to die, Lord. And so they rejected who he was in leading them, and they resisted his authority. It says even their hearts were hardened to him. That's, I think, our first camp that most of us fall into at the beginning. But then there's a second option. There's a second reaction that we can have to authority that the Lord invites us into. And it's one of obedience and reception. This is a place where we can actually find rest. It's a place where we can find freedom in knowing I have someone who loves me so much that he invites me into a place of security. And he can actually remove some of the anxieties of my heart if I'm willing to give myself over to his presence. And I see this in this reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. St. Paul writes about this kind of obedience to authority. He says, I should like you to be free of anxieties. I actually want you to rest in having your concern, whatever your vocation is, whether you're a married man or a single woman, I want your concern to be about the things of the Lord. That you would balance and temper the other anxieties and concerns of your life, and that you would rest in this concern for the things of the Lord. And that's the option St. Paul extends to these people of Corinth. that they might rest in this authority, this place of comfort and peace and freedom, knowing that they are taken care of by the Lord. That's the position I think each of us longs for in our life, even if at first we resist the authority or the leadership that might come over us. And we see this played out, I think, so beautifully in the gospel, where Jesus comes as the very author of life. He was there from the beginning. He's always existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so he has authorship of all of creation. And then at a certain point, he comes into the world and he begins to preach. And that's where we find him today in Mark's gospel, in chapter 1, here at the very beginning of his ministry. And as he starts teaching as the author of all life, they recognize him as someone altogether different. They're astonished at his teaching. It says, for he taught them as one having authority. He was the author. So of course he was different than all of those who came before him, the prophets who spoke the voice of God, but they didn't have in them the full presence of God as Jesus was truly God and truly man. So they were amazed at him. They were astonished at him, we hear. They asked, what is this? A teaching with authority. And many were then drawn into that place of obedience and receptivity and freedom. And that's how he invited his first disciples, that he invited them in a new way, that they would follow the author of life and place themselves under his protective authority. But when our Lord left this world and ascended into heaven, his authority didn't leave us altogether. His authority actually remains in a new way. This is because he gave that authority over to his disciples, to the church. This is the great beauty that we have in our leadership of the church, being passed on successor after successor. We see evidence in the scriptures of Jesus passing his authority to Peter and giving him those keys over here on our window of St. Peter. He gave him the authority that Jesus himself embodied. And then the successors of Peter and the other shepherds of the church and even all the members of the body of Christ in some way share in Christ's authority. It's passed on to us. It's our inheritance, our right to speak as a prophet. You know, each of us who are baptized into Christ. And so we take then a new nature, a divine nature. And we are able to speak as a prophet. We're able to act as a priest. We're able to act as the person of Christ, as his hands and feet in the world, even in a different way than Moses and Joshua and Ezekiel and all of the Old Testament prophets were. They spoke the voice of God. They spoke in his name. But as members of Christ's body, taking on this new divine nature, each of us take on the authority of Christ. And we see this, of course, in the leadership of the church and her shepherds, but each of us share in it too. Now, as I started, authority isn't always accepted. And so you've probably run into that in your own wrestlings and in your wrestlings with the things of the world, that authority is often resisted and rejected, and especially the authority of the church. About 100 years ago, there was this thing called modernism that the church grappled with, and we still wrestle with it today. Pope St. Pius X condemned modernism as a heresy. And modernism is this idea that the church should get with the times. The church should just kind of come along with the rest of the world and become enlightened. But the church has resisted this. The church, in her authority and in her share with Christ, has resisted this. It's been condemned. And even 100 years ago, as it was being grappled with, there was an author, G.K. Chesterton, a great theologian and philosopher, a lay Catholic from England. And I thought he put it so well when he resisted this and the newspapers and the media of his time saying the church just needs to grow up and get with the times. This is what G.K. Chesterton said to them. "We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." That's what happens when we are able to teach and preach with the authority of Jesus. That we don't move with the whims of the world, but that we stand in the person of Christ, and in that truth, we're actually able to move the world. That's our inherent vocation as a church, to move the world towards truth, to move the world towards goodness. And this is so intrinsically linked to the way that we teach. Catholic education is intrinsically linked to the prophetic office that we share as a church. We embody Christ in the way that we teach, in our faith formation classes, in the way that we form all of our parishioners, in a paramount way, in the way that we form in our Catholic school. This is how we enact our prophetic office in the world, how we teach with the authority of Christ. And sure, we'll always meet resistance. In the ways that we teach, in the ways that we preach, we'll always meet resistance in the world. But that's not really ours to own. That's not ours to ultimately figure out. There will always be those who want to cancel the voice of the church. They wanted to cancel Jesus's voice too. Think of how his teaching and preaching led to his own death and rejection by so many of the authorities of his time. So there will always be those who resist us and who try to cancel us. But it is our prophetic role in the world to continue to stand in that place of Christ and to preach freedom, to preach truth. We can't control or stop the opposition we'll receive, but we can continue to enact this authority that Christ has given us. We're simply called to receive Jesus' authority and his teaching and then courageously share it as good news. And so as we celebrate the authority that we have in our faith, I invite you today, receive that authority. Don't be scared of the opposition. Don't harden your hearts, but be open to the Lord and his teaching. Be open to who he is and who he's called us to be, that we wouldn't be moved by the world, but that we would move the world.